God just has had it in my spirit for the last couple of weeks, and when I asked him what I was to teach on, he said Psalm 3. So we're going to take a look at Psalm 3 this morning, and the title is, It's Not As Bad As It Seems If The Lord Is On Your Side. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So this, let's pray. Father, bless this. Lord, we know your word is anointed. We know that in the midst of this psalm, Lord, you have something for each person, Lord, that is here this morning. So God, I just thank you for the Holy Spirit teaching today through me, Lord. Use me in Jesus' name. Amen. So this psalm, it has some firsts in it among the psalms. It's not Psalm 1, but it is Psalm 3. And it's the first psalm with a superscription that says, a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. And then this is the first psalm that was called a psalm in the Bible. And it also is the first psalm to identify the author. And the author was David. It's the first psalm that states the occasion for why he wrote this song. And David wrote it because he was fleeing from Absalom. It's also the first psalm to use the enigmatic word Selah. And he uses it 3 times in the psalm, and then it's used like 71 more times in the book of Psalms. And some think that it's a musical notation, and that it means to pause and to stop and think about what was just being sung. And others say that it's a musical notation that means you're to play louder or faster or slower. So when you look at the psalm, it probably could be a combination of those things, because when you get to singing it, you start singing it faster. Oh. But at the same time, there is so much in this psalm as far as learning who God is and what he will do for you in the midst of your struggles, that we needed to stop and pause and think about it for a moment. So there's some historical background that goes with this psalm, and that's in 2 Samuel chapters 13 through 18. If you would like to read more about the background of this, why David penned this. But David's son, Amnon, had raped his half-sister, Tamar. And in defense of her and in defense of her honor, Absalom killed Amnon and then started an insurrection against his father, David. And see, Absalom was very handsome, very charismatic, and many people began to favor him above David, and they joined in with this revolt against David the king. And so David had come to a place where he had no choice but to flee from Jerusalem. And it was during that time that he wrote this psalm. And you know, he was a man after God's own heart. Do you remember? And he had some real troubles that were growing and absolutely looked insurmountable. And so we're going to take a look at the verses. And in these first 2 verses, David shares his complaint to the Lord. And verse 1 says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. It hurt David deeply that his beloved son Absalom had declared himself to be his father's enemy. Now, we just celebrated Father's Day last weekend, and I can only imagine the heart of a father when a son would turn completely against him and would encourage and bring other people along in his offense with his dad. So people that David knew, he loved, he trusted, were now determined to end his reign and to even end his life. And so everywhere he looked, friends had become enemies. And so he says, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. That word many is used in this verse, and it's also used in the next verse. But you know, this can happen to you and I. Maybe not to this magnitude, but life can bring you to a place where you are surrounded by people with evil intentions against you. Few of us escape life without facing some sort of conflict or adversity. And it isn't something rational that people enjoy, but we are forced to deal with it. And so trouble is something that we will all face. And even if we seek to avoid it, we can't, because sometimes trouble comes looking for you, because we live in a sin-cursed world with those who inhabit bodies of flesh who are prone to be sinful and full of lusts and desires. And I really believe things will continue to wax worse and worse. Our troubles are likely to increase as time progresses. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Hallelujah. Verse 2 says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. So David, he poured out his complaint. He said, this is what they're doing. They're surrounding me. They're rising up against me. And this is what they're saying. They're saying there is no help for me in God. And this was the word that was out in the street about David's situation. His circumstances had led his friends to conclude that God has turned his back on David. And possibly this is a logical conclusion that they came to, because when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, God spoke this in 2 Samuel 12:11. The Lord said, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house. And so the Lord fulfilled this promise through Absalom's insurrection against David. And it caused people to conclude that David was totally forsaken. And so as we look at that, we can see how if you're an onlooker, you can misdiagnose a person's trouble. You know, the Lord allowed that insurrection to come against David, but that did not mean that God gave up on David. That did not mean there was no help for his soul. God was at work the whole time in the midst of this problem. And you know, as we look around, we know the world does not embrace our faith to serve the Lord. They mock our faith. They despise Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus said, the world hated me and the world is going to hate you. And the enemy seeks to discredit our faith and question the existence of God and even question the ability of God. And so often the world looks at Christians as being weak and incapable of defending ourselves because we trust a God we cannot see. And the enemy will do all he can to create doubt in our minds. Is that true? He tries to create it by having people around us slander our faith and the God we serve. So David begins to shift his focus in verses 3-6, because this is the only way to face and overcome overwhelming battles in life. You know, there's a theologian, his name is James Boyce, and he said this: when a believer gazes too long at the enemy, the force arrayed against him seems to grow in size until it appears to be overwhelming. But when he turns his thoughts to God, God is seen in his true great stature, and the enemies shrink to manageable proportions. Hallelujah. And this is exactly what David says, instead of getting emotional about it, which we can, if we're not careful, get caught up with our emotions, David refused to believe the report of unbelieving people. Do you hear me? We've got to remember the same thing. Don't believe the reports of unbelieving people. Verse 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. So David is placing his confidence in who the Lord is and what God has already done for him. And he uses personal terms. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. For me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. And so these are words of hope and confidence because the Lord had set a perimeter about him. The enemy raged and sought to advance, but David had the advantage because the shield of the Lord was for him. And if the enemy was to get to David, they would have to penetrate the shield of God that hovered over him. Somebody say hallelujah. He was in the safest place in the world, secure. We can be secure within the perimeter that God has set for us because he is a shield for me. Say for me. He's a shield for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 84:11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Somebody shout this morning. Woo! I'm preaching myself happy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You see, the shield of the Lord covers every side. There was people coming against him that had shields, but that shield does not protect them everywhere. It just protects the front of them. But the shield of the Lord protects every side. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He said, you're my glory. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. And historically, I just want to share something with you. In 2 Samuel 15:30, the scripture shares that David fled to the Mount of Olives, weeping, barefoot, and with his head covered. And all the people that were with David covered their heads because of the grief and the pain and the shame that David experienced. He covered his head. And there was nothing he could do to lift his head in victory. But he declared in this psalm that the Lord is the lifter of his head. Because in the ancient world, subjects would go before a monarch and the monarch would judge their case. And if he did not agree with them, he would put his foot on their neck. They would go before the monarch, they would bow down, and he would put his foot on their neck. But David was saying, I've presented my case to the Lord, and I'm confident that when he hears my case, he will lift my head. Because if the monarch agreed with the person, he lifted his head. Hallelujah. David was confident that the Lord would come to his rescue. His hope was in the Lord. Because God is faithful. He's faithful. We've been singing about it this morning. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard out of his holy hill. David had prayed to the Lord, and notice that he prayed fervently. He cried out. You know, there's a time for quiet, contemplative prayer, and then there's a time in your life when you cry out before the Lord. Because remember, your prayers will not mean anything to God until they mean everything to you. Come on. David cried out and God answered him from his holy hill. You know, David had been banished by his enemies, banished from his throne. But the enemy had not banished God from his throne. God was still on the throne even though David was on the run. And he answered from his throne room, from his holy hill. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the struggles that we face are much too difficult to overcome apart from God. And that's exactly where David was. He knew he had no strength within himself to overcome this situation. And only by the mercy and the grace of God would he overcome. I remember a quote by President Abraham Lincoln. He said, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day." Thank you, Jesus. We cry out to the Lord, and he hears us. He hears you from his holy hill. And then verse 5, he says, "I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me." With all of the trouble that David faced, you would think that he'd be up pacing the floor and could not sleep at night. Anybody ever been up at night pacing the floor because of trouble, not being able to sleep at night? I think we've all been there. And we were not in the circumstance that David was in. But David said, "I laid down and slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me." He woke up in safety. You know, he gave the battle to the Lord, and he just went to sleep and enjoyed a good night's rest. Lord, help us. Hallelujah. To give the battle to the Lord and get our rest, because you need it, right? Yeah, these bodies need some rest. Verse 6, he said, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves around me, against me round about." And so this is not a hyperbole when he says that there were 10,000s of people. There were thousands of people actually set against him. But David was not afraid. And that doesn't mean David didn't have something to be afraid of. But he had plenty of reasons to be afraid, but because he knew God. Do you know God this morning? Because he knew what God had done for him, David was determined that he was not going to allow fear to dictate his responses. Because fear will dictate your responses. We just have to come out of any agreement that we have with any fear. A woman named Dorothy Bernard, she said, "Courage is just fear that has said its prayers." Hallelujah. Courage is just fear that has said its prayers. The Bible calls it faith. Faith. Trust in God relieves our fear. And it doesn't matter how great the opposition. Notice, it didn't matter that the numbers had increased and that everything was against him. If God is on your side, you are already in the majority. You are already in the majority if God is on your side. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 27, 1 through 3 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell." Woo! You know, often we just allow senseless worry to plague our minds. There is much we face. There's a lot of things we're facing. And yet, there is little we can do about it. When you come to that place, when you can rest in God and give him your problems, knowing God will take care of you, you will experience his power and his presence. My mom used to sing this song, "Everything's Gonna Be All Right." Everything's going to be all right. Because she knew how to rest in God regardless of what was going on. She knew everything was going to be all right. Because when God is on your side, you're in the majority. You're in the majority. Hallelujah. And then David starts his war cry in verse 7. He says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." That's pretty strong language, huh? Yeah, that's pretty good. But he was crying out to God to arise. If you remember, every time the ark was set out to move, Moses would say, "Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before me." Israel totally trusted in God to fight their battles. God will arise and enemies will be scattered. So it was a war cry. "Arise, O God, and save me." And so this comment of striking the cheek of his enemies is more about an insult than a pain. You know, when somebody smacks someone on the face, on the cheek, it's an insult usually. Is that why? Yeah. So we can relate to that. But he is asking God to put his enemies in their place. And when a wild animal's teeth are broken, then they lose their ability to devour. And so when he was asking God to break their teeth, he was asking God to take away what they would use to hurt him. "Take it away, Lord, what they're using to hurt me." He was crushed because they said there was no help for him in God. That his soul was done for. God had given up on him. And he said, "Lord, put them in their place and take away what they would use to hurt me." We can pray that way, church. We can pray that way. We can say, "Arise, O God. Arise, O God. Arise, let my enemies be scattered. Thank you, Lord." Many times in our life, we could enjoy a greater victory if we would avoid senseless conflict. And if we allowed God to fight our battles this way. Often it's the best to pray and give the Lord time to respond and deal with a situation in our life. There's been a few times in my life, and I'm sure there's been a few times in your life, that you experienced greater conflict because you did not give God time to work. And you just decided, because of your great wisdom and your wonderful talent, that you would just take the situation and you would take care of it yourself. Have you ever done that? Yeah. And so the older you get, the wiser you get. David knew that he needed to wait on the Lord to take care of this conflict, because Jesus is the only one that can deliver you from the hand of the enemy. And God will fight your battles. The greatest battle he fought for you was on the cross. Go to the cross and look at what Jesus did for you. And believe me, the God who fought for you to get you to heaven will fight for you on your way to heaven. Come on, he is with us. Tell somebody he's with you. The last verse, "Salvation belongs unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah." Your salvation does not come from man. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And what God did for David, God can do for you. God will give you the victory because the Lord is faithful to bless his people. And as I was finishing up my study, I remembered Jonah praying from the belly of the whale. And Jonah 2, 8 through 9 says this, "Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I will shout, but I with shouts of grateful praise will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord." And verse 10, "So the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." He had to come to that place where he was giving it all to God, and that he recognized he couldn't do it his own way and what he wanted to do. And so I encourage you today, trust the Lord, whatever situation you're in, whatever situations that we are going to be facing as we see things, the tide shift and change and come and go, we just trust God that he is leading us. And the word of the Lord was not to look at your circumstances. Don't look at what things are going on around you, but be like David. I believe David had a faith file. God had helped him so many times. And God has delivered us, healed us, set us free, got us out of tight situations, things we never should have been involved with. God has delivered us from so much that he will do it again. Tell your neighbor he'll do it again. He'll do it again. Hallelujah. God is so good. God is so good. We're going to get ready to close, and I'm going to ask if praise team can come on up, and we're going to sing our closing song. But David prayed, "Your blessing be on your people." And that was his final benediction that makes it clear that this personal testimony is about what God was doing for David and David wanted to do for his people. He wasn't holding an offense against all the people that were rising up against him. He was asking the Lord to bless his people. You know, there's that turnaround moment. That turnaround moment that I believe David was believing for Absalom that did not come because he loved his son. He did not want to see him die. But Absalom chose his course. We can choose life or we can choose death. And when you're on the side of rebellion, you are not going to win. You are not going to win. It doesn't matter how hard you fight. When you're rebelling against God, you will not win. And Jonah found that out too. But it is for all who trust in the Lord. This blessing is for all of us who trust in God. There is no secret what God can do. What God did for David, God can do for you. It's not a secret, because God will give you the victory, because the Lord is faithful to bless his people. We have so much because we are in Jesus Christ, and we're still learning what it means to be in Christ and Christ in us. And in closing, I just want to share this story, and then we're going to sing our song. And this story was told of a man named Mr. Yates. And he owned a farm in Texas. And the Great Depression came, and he was having trouble keeping up with the payments on his farm. And so the bank began to press Mr. Yates and gave him 30 days to pay his back payments or face foreclosure. With 3 weeks left to go, a man came to Mr. Yates' door. He worked for an oil company. He asked Mr. Yates to give the company a lease to drill on his farm for oil. Yates knew he was going to lose his farm anyway, so he decided it couldn't hurt. And that was before Biden was president. Moving on. Well, that oil company did drill and hit a gusher. 80 barrels of oil a day. Mr. Yates immediately became a multimillionaire. So the question was, when did Mr. Yates become a millionaire? When the oil company struck oil? No. Mr. Yates was a millionaire the moment he bought the farm.
Yes.
But he lived in poverty because he did not know what was underneath the ground. And the point is likewise, the moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ, that very moment, you were blessed. You don't need to live in spiritual poverty when you begin to understand who Jesus Christ is and your identity in God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise.
Hallelujah.
You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for the teaching of the word. Holy Spirit, continue to teach us. Lord, help us to apply this word into our lives, Lord, as we move forward in this season of time. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, amen. Amen.